Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome, VFN Radio, watching us on VFN TV, Christian Television Network, around the world, and listening to us on the radio programs all the way around the nation, the world as well. Wow. Hey. Hello, world, right?
That's right.
And I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat.
Hello.
The cruncher man. He eats healthy over here. I heard a healthy segment of the day. We're talking about send money. Feed the boy.
Feed him.
But the fact that, you know, he's no longer 500 pounds, we're just so proud of him.
So proud.
Yes, so no proud. Longer. It was amazing. I mean, the furniture, we, you know, everything's just, you know.
Yeah. Scale down now. We got room in the studio.
Right. He wasn't 500 pounds, Jiminy.
300.
Crickets. And also joining us is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We are right in the middle talking about World War III. Yes. We don't want to stir up fear, but we want to stir up your faith to understand that prophecy has been given, and if you missed it, we've been talking about in today's programs, that it was prophesied by Jim Baker that World War III would potentially begin in the Holy Land. Mm. Then we're talking about, you know, what they're doing. We've been talking about it for quite some time. They're actually egging everybody on and nudging, if you would, everybody in that area. They're trying to fundamentally transform the world, and it's not the president of the United States, by the way. It's there's a whole crew that's selected. This is a world thing. Yeah, this is a world thing. You can always tell by how they look at JJ, the Jews and Jesus, how they look at the Christians and the Jews, how they, if they push God aside to do this, then that is a world ruling, whether they know it or not, you know. And so we're listening right now to CBN News reporting that here we are. We created this huge storm around Israel. We are the ones that caused the Arab Spring to take place. We empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, and now they're actually talking about crimes against humanity now because of us doing that. And talking about bombing Assad and Damascus. You know, we're going to send ships out there. We're the ones that had the Russian fleet up behind our president when he was, the Americans were gathering in North Carolina. And it's like, what are we doing? This transmit to the Vladimir, we'll have more freedom after the election. I'll let Vladimir know. It's like, here we are now. Vladimir Putin is talking as Jacob, as Israel, the apple of God's eyes, having to go to Vladimir. Our president told Putin's puppet.
Medvedev.
Yeah. That.
Wow.
That he would have more flexibility after the election. And everybody wondered what that was. And I don't think there is such thing as a slip mic. I mean, if you understand Alinsky, that's how you do things. But look at the flexibility. How in the world, who would have ever thought from the time that he said, I'll transmit that to Vladimir Putin, President Putin, that he would be one leading the G20, that America would be trailing by 45 minutes or if not an hour behind all the nations in the G20 that's there, that the entire Arab League, which is over 500 million Muslims surrounds Israel, would actually be put under the Vladimir Putin. I mean, hey, he's holding up to his bargain, right? Hey. Russian fleet behind you when you're talking. More flexibility after the election.
Back in Syria.
Back in Syria, turning over the Arab League over to Putin, quote, saving the day. Forbes magazine calling him now the most powerful man in the earth. And look at the flexibility. Now, our president and his leadership and whoever's behind him created an atmosphere to do what? To cause what you're seeing right now on Christian Television Network, and you can see this on the VFN Torch. You're seeing Jacob, you're seeing Israel have to go now because who's the friend? Who's the friend of Israel? I'll tell you this. Vladimir Putin is not the friend of Israel. But Prime Minister Netanyahu is wise in knowing what he has to do. I mean, just a great, great leader. I mean, he probably gave the most encouraging speech from the United Nations. If you want to be encouraged, you need to hear his speech on the VFN Torch, and hopefully that's a related link. But it will just encourage you. It's like, sanity!
Yeah.
But look at this.
Netanyahu, you said, right?
Benjamin Netanyahu, right. He's the one that gave the speech there. And listen up. This is now, you're listening to CBN News reporting as Benjamin Netanyahu had to go to the one that our president said, I'll have more flexibility after the election. Here he is now. Israel is I wouldn't say, well, basically showing up in need. I need your help. And he's asking Putin for help. Whoever thunk that day would ever take place. Listen up.
Netanyahu's attempt to change Putin's mind is a long shot.
Well, I think the prime minister tried to convince Putin that agreement with Iran at the moment will be a bad idea. But I think he knew that it will be a very hard task. And from what we saw in the press conference, I think that both sides agreed not to agree.
Netanyahu's visit here to Moscow is just one part of an all-out diplomatic campaign by Israel to stop the international community from striking a deal with Iran that would allow it to get a nuclear device. They don't want Geneva 2013 to become Munich 1938. That's when the Western powers appeased Adolf Hitler and he took over Czechoslovakia. That agreement sowed the seeds for World War II.
The deal on the table is a deal that gives the Iranians exactly what they want. It's a dream deal. They don't have to make any significant concessions. And at the same time, they get easing of the sanctions. For them, it's a dream deal, a dream deal. And we're concerned that for the international community, it'll be a nightmare.
Mark Regev, spokesman for the prime minister, says Iran is not just an Israeli problem.
It's obvious that the Iranian nuclear program is a threat to Israel. That's clear. But it's also a threat to the world. I'd remind you, the Iranians are working on intercontinental ballistic missiles, missiles that can carry nuclear payloads. Now, they don't need those missiles for Israel because they've already got missiles that can target Israel. Those missiles are being built for targets way beyond the Middle East, in Europe and in North America.
But will Israel attack Iran's nuclear facilities? In a statement designed to remind negotiators in Geneva a military option is very much alive, Israel's former national security advisor, Yaakov Amidror, told the Financial Times, "We have enough to stop the Iranians for a very long time. We are not bluffing. We are very serious, preparing ourselves for the possibility that Israel will have to defend itself by itself." Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Moscow.
Who would have ever thunk this day would happen? What you're looking at right there on Christian Television Network, what you can see on the VFN Torch, you're looking at how our president used the flexibility after the election. He used the flexibility based on his fruit and what we're seeing with Valerie Jarrett, an Iranian-born advisor, American parents born in Iran, who reportedly, which the White House denies, is working with the Ayatollah, which the president said that, yes, the Green Party did send me a request to help them during the Arab Spring, and no, I did not respond to them.
Wow.
And it's like... That would have been the moment to stop the supposed, if you really wanted to stop this nuclear armament, would have been at that point, because the Iranian people were saying, help us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why they were kicked. And you can we're going to make a related link as this as well. We've been talking about this is all prophecy, and this is prophecy being fulfilled. Women were being kicked in the gut and raped on the streets during that time of that people wanting to be free in Iran. The Green Party writes our president, says, you know, you've helped out in Egypt. You've helped out in these other nations. Will you help us too? Which the assumption would be, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He denied it for quite some time. He just didn't say letter just laid on his desk. And it's like, for some reason, this current administration has a relationship that only God knows about with Iran.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just amazing what's taking place. And we know Iran is against, I mean, its total viewpoint is destroy Israel, push them into the sea.
And they have an interesting narrative with Germany, with Nazis, and their whole name is like...
Yeah, Iranian.
The connection here, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's the same spirit, whether it's not the same people. And so the Charisma magazine, here they are. Understand this. This is, the more flexibility was used to be able to put Israel in the position they were in yesterday when this happened, when the prime minister did this with the very one he was going to transmit the message to Vladimir. This is what happened. And it was the Russian Navy in that big picture that we showed you that was behind the Americans when we were choosing who our leader would be. It was a shot being fired over the bow when they were trying to choose a leader down in South Florida. There were shots being fired at the Capitol where innocent people were shot. I mean, all these things are happening right now. And we had an opportunity to Katrina ourselves, which means to purify our hearts and do what's right. Wow. And we did not choose to be able to do that. And now you're looking at this huge momentum taking place. We share with you what God said and about the Philippines and what was going to happen. If you pray, this corrupt leadership will be removed. And the corrupt leadership was still there because this Sunday, reports were, and you can go back and listen to it on the Torch, was the corrupt leadership has taken the money that we're sending over there to help the Philippine people, and which means it never did get moved. And he says, if you don't do this, then a huge, it's going to be major, and the biggest typhoon in the history of the world, like everybody knows all the history, but that's what they're reporting it, hit them and brought great destruction, and it's still there. And not only are they destroyed by the storm now and these earthquakes and things going on, but they have a corrupt government that's oppressing them and taking their health and their money, you know, reportedly speaking. And it's just like, understand, at the same time this word was being given out at the VFN Dream Center in the Gulf Coast, that within hours, the tornadoes came across the Midwest and up into the east, and great destruction came down. And it's always what you're hearing. It's hotter than it's ever been. It's colder than it's ever been in history. This is bigger than we've ever seen. It's faster than we've ever seen. It's more destructive. Over and over again, but nobody's like going like, hey. And what they're doing is, this is how Lucifer's changing the narrative. He's saying, oh, this is just global warming. It's like, no, it's not. It's consequences for rebelling against God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Even the rocks cry out for God. You have to understand, everything is in God's control. The earth will respond to a rebellious people. It'll respond to innocent bloodshed on it. And God will respond to us if we repent for the sins that we committed on it.
Mm.
But understand, the earth will literally, you know, vomit us out of a place and just get into turmoil and just be disturbed when we turn our, if we turn our backs on God. I mean, go back and look.
Yeah.
And what he says, but if you actually seek my face, pray, turn from your wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and your land will calm down.
Mm.
I'll heal your land.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
And so we're finding something. We want these things to calm down. It's not about political global warming concept. It's about us getting right in our heart and things will just line up. And I know you have more from Charisma.
Yeah. Yeah, also, you know, right now, Geneva, what's happening is they're meeting today. They're calling the P5 plus one. And those are the states you're looking here at. We'll make this available for you on the Torch. But Wikipedia talks about here the Treaty of Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. And there's five states, countries that have signed this agreement. It's the United States, it's Russia, the United Kingdom, France, and China. And out of that group, France is the only one that opposed it. Not the United States, not Russia, not China. And not United Kingdom.
A socialistic government who is in financial downfall right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, they stood up.
And
you'll watch. There'll be a difference. We're going to go to break right now, but they're going to be a difference because we want to hear more about Charisma Magazine and what they're saying, these eight catastrophic things that can be happening if we keep going this direction because of what our current administration is doing. This is a biblical worldview. We're trying to find out, dear God, what do we do? What do we pray? How do we need to respond to this?
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
A boy needs his mother's guidance. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and psychologist Dr. Kevin Lehman says that when adolescence comes along, a mom's influence on her son only increases.
Let's go back to age 10, 11, 12. That weird, awkward age. And a boy in your school likes you. What does he do? He hits you? Yes. He pushes you? Yes. He makes a fool of himself with two or three little boys in front of you? Yes. He pulls your hair? Yes. Now, who better to teach that little boy about how a boy should treat a young woman than you, Mom?
There's no doubt that boy-girl relationships are complex, but Mom, you can help your son make sense of it all. Teach him to practice being a gentleman. Model how a woman should be treated because you're ultimately preparing your son for marriage. You'll find more trusted advice about the mother-son relationship at FocusOnTheFamily.com/parenting.
there's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham, this reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org. iabide.org and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We are talking about what was being prophesied, World War III potentially taking place, beginning in the Holy Land. And it looks like all these things are accumulating to come together. And if you missed it, you got to get today's program. You've got to listen to it. You need to share it with your friends. Because understand, we're seeing it now before it happens, which means we can pray and say, Dear God, please don't make this happen. Keep this from happening. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive us for turning our backs on you. Forgive us for putting people in office who don't love you. Forgive us for the aborting, the killing of the babies. And forgive us for the oppression that we had in our nation. Dear God, have mercy on us. Lord, we stand with Israel. Mm. I mean, that's what VFN Radio on VFN TV is all about. We talk about it. It's three pillars that we're going to have to stand up for. And we understood this because we're prophesying to you things that we knew about and things that are unfolding here. We knew that at the time we began to talk about it, that America was not standing up as a leader for Israel. But this is what we say. You know, we're here for God and country in that order, God first, because there is no country without God. We believe the kingdom came first. The kingdom of God was inside the hearts of men, and they were looking for a place to be able to worship because they were being beat for worshiping outside of the Church of England, and the nation happened over a period of time. And when they wrote it out one nation under God, and as a government by the people and for the people in the year of our Lord, and on and on. And for God and country in that order, and for Israel. You don't have a lot of time to really talk about the details, but you can find out and listen to the related articles here in the context of how we have Israel and America was very significant. Listen to these different segments that are made available here about how significant it was. And as soon as one president wrote a letter to, I believe it was Saudi Arabia, whoever it was, some Arabian nation, we will not let Israel become a nation.
FDR,
that will never happen. 2 weeks later, he died. And then guess what? His replacement signed the papers. Yeah, Harry Truman signed the papers because he was raised up on his mother's knee, knowing that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Understand this. FDR thought he had it all figured out. But his very life, like Herod, was taken away from him in 2 weeks when he said, I'm going to try to stop the plans of God. And what God says, all the wisdom and all the strength of men cannot stop God and his plans. And so we want to get involved and get under God and begin to abide with him and follow him. And we've been talking about that. So World War III, I mean, you think about that. That is a major thing. We want to kind of take a break in this heaviness here. And is it 8 minutes, Denmark? Is that?
Yeah, the gangster. Yeah,
yeah, the gangster. I wanted to be able to do that. But I do want to say this. You know, I was realizing, man, you know, I was so tired, as we all are, when we're working nonstop and for what God has called us to do, and so we go to bed, we're tired, and so I was about to pass out. I was in bed, and it must have been, you know, the crack of eight. No, messing with you. No, it wasn't. It was late, and as I was laying there, it crossed my mind. My goodness. I'm only going to have a few more days left being in my 40s. I will not be in my 40s anymore.
No, that's turning.
I'm thinking I will never look at myself the same anymore. I'm in my 40s. I'm like, but I'm so tired. And I'm like, well, maybe I can get out of bed and take a picture of myself to remember what I looked like when I was in my 40s, you know? And I thought, I am way too tired. So I took one hand and went over and touched my other arm. I said, this is what I felt like when I was 40.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's amazing. It just dawned on me last night.
It just hit you.
It just hit me because I've been so busy. This has been the busiest decade. Yeah, Do you get to relax when you're 50? Can you believe that? 50.
Wow.
50.
Yeah, I know. And it just because you know things in your head in regards to it. You just don't have time to really, you know, do much in regards to when we're working. We're trying to save the world. Trying to save as many people as we can before catastrophe hits. And so I just paused and just realized, my goodness, I'm going to be not in my 40s anymore.
No.
You'll be half of 100.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about today's program, I am going to just walk through the community and say, look at me, this is what I look like in my 40s.
Right.
And I thought, well, hey, I'm on television around the world, so this is what I look like in my 40s.
There it is.
It will be disappearing soon. Mm-hmm. And but isn't that amazing? It's totally amazing. But I understand the 50s, I mean, this is a huge, I mean, think about this, that something happened in 1963, so many things converged in that year. Even William Brannan got his vision in 1963 of the seven angels of God, you know, the seven spirits of God that's in his right hand. And it happened in 63. I have a dream speech where the apostle of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Began to share about a mountaintop experience and the dream that he's seen America coming into a better place. The assassination of a president, John F. Kennedy, on the very same day. But I was born in 1963.
Mm. Same day.
Same day, same hour, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't even name all the writer, Screw Letters.
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, on the very same day, November 22nd, 1963, that he passed. And people are bringing this to me. I didn't know all this. But 50 represents Jubilee. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're just going to hold on to that.
That's right.
We're going to hold on to that one. You know, and Jubilee is a very exciting thing because Jubilee is when no matter where you are, if it's exercised appropriately, then all the debt's forgiven. You enter into a time of rest. Everything rests. And you're able to just relax and the soil begins to replenish itself, I think, over 7 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And So I'm just going to hang on to Jubilee.
Hey,
I'm going to celebrate. Good. But, you know, once you're not in your 40s anymore, you're not in your 40s anymore. So I'm thinking, I really thought about this. This is something that probably Steve would think about. Yeah, I'm going to get out of bed and take a picture of myself so I can remember what I look like at my 40, right?
Is that what Steve does?
Yeah,
is that
right? Okay. You don't have a mic. He said, yeah. That's what he said. He said, yeah.
Well, I'm not even in my 40s, so I don't even know what that's like. That's,
we'll take a
wow.
picture.
Wow, I'm not even.
Yeah, take a picture.
Wow. Are you?
Let's wow. not talk about that.
Oh, jeez.
You're not in your 40s?
No. No.
You act like you're 60.
No.
Are you serious?
I'm not.
I totally
even,
I didn't know no. I was going to be. You're serious? I thought you yeah, were.
No, that's next year.
Ain't that something? He'd be walking around like an old man.
I know, right?
We've been giving him the special parking hey. Space. You know,
give
we've
me
been,
them keys back.
You know, you just got to pick up some more weight around here. I'm like, Mike, us old folks, man. We're trying to do something.
I'm just trying to hang on.
Ain't that something? I thought you had already.
No, no.
Oh, you're no. gonna we're gonna roast it's you. We're gonna roast you.
So
everybody that's listening right now, Maria, anybody out there that's listening, we want pictures, photos, videos,
oh,
testimonies.
Great.
His 40th birthday coming up. No. No, I just want to celebrate my 40s because tomorrow I will no longer be in my 40s.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Touch me now, man. Touch me now. This is it. It's That's over. It's over.
Totally over.
It's over.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you. Phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. If you're in New Jersey, visit Yolanda Cocina Cubana, Cuban Kitchen. For the food is delicioso. Get some today. Brunson Aaron Heating in Mobile, commercial and residential. They'll come and check it out for you. Also in Pensacola on the Gulf Coast, Taqueria Olguis, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for this, Pat. Delicious. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, I'll let you know about our special offer this week. It's so important. I think you're probably seeing it right now on the screen that you can go to VFNTV.com, click on special offer. You see it right there, and it takes you right to the special offer, which is No One Calls for Justice, learning the importance of crying out for God's justice. And one of the things that really bothers us as flawed vessels, flawed people, is we're concerned about the gavel coming down on us.
Yeah.
And we should be if we have not yet got our relationship right with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But you've got to hear this, because until someone cries for justice, and justice is getting things back in God's order again. By the way, all you have to do is go there, make an offer, whatever's on your heart, just make an offer. And it's yours. You can download it instantly and it'll be available to you. You know, what a question. I mean, think about this. You could begin to cry for justice, and justice is putting things back in their rightful order again. And how many things are out of order today? I mean, how many things are really out of order? That's all it is. What do we need? We need God's justice. But you know what? We got to start with getting ourselves back in order before we start pointing our finger at a world that's out of order.
That's right.
And you got to hear this, because if we wait too late, and a lot of people will, we're bait. You know, it's what he says. You'll be like bait if you wait too late. And some people are just waiting and say, okay, I have no choice. I'm losing my company now. I'm losing my house now. I'm losing my country now. I'm going to say something. It's like, it's too late, brother.
It's done.
You know, you're fixing to be, you know, fodder. You're fixing to be bait, you know. And it's stand up now for what's right. Even if you do lose these things, understanding then God will reorder our nation, because he's good and he's just. And so get that. It's available to you right now. Go to VFNTV.com this week and click on this week's special offer, and you will see it there. No one calls for justice. No one cries for justice. And you're going to get excited, because you can find out, wait a minute, I can be a part of God's justice movement. I can begin to cry out for justice. And somebody says, well, what about you? You're going to say, but I allowed God's justice to be served on his son, because I accepted his son Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You're right, but Jesus took that on for me, and he can take that on for you too.
That's right.
Isn't that awesome?
That's powerful.
Go get it today at VFNTV.com on the front page.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN Radio on VFN TV and the Christian Television Network audience. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We were talking about Israel and how they've been focusing on, you know, prophetically we're seeing the fulfillment of the prophecies that have been said. And as we speak right now, it's like World War III is being stirred up against Israel. And if it's against Israel, it's against God. And we got to begin to pray. But what did Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, what did he say?
Well, you know, in his last speech before the UN here just recently, he shared about a personal experience. And Noah writes about this. He says, from his personal family history, the collective experiences that guides Israel on fateful decisions. And the last thing he said was, there's a potential this could be the last warning that, you know, we hear from Israel in front of the UN regarding them striking Iran if things don't change.
They're realizing they may be the only one that have to do it.
Right.
Never again.
Well, he says this story, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. One cold day in the late 19th century, my grandfather Nathan and his younger brother Judah were standing in a railway station in the heart of Europe. They were seen by a group of anti-Semitic hoodlums who ran towards them waving clubs, screaming, "Death to the Jews."
I think it's important to understand anti-Semitic means people that hate the Jews just for being Jews. Yeah. Okay.
They were screaming, "Death to the Jews." My grandfather shouted to his younger brother to flee and save himself, and he then stood alone against the raging mob to slow it down. They beat him senseless. They left him for dead, and before he passed out, covered in his own blood, he said to himself, "What a disgrace. What a disgrace. The descendants of Maccabees lie in the mud, powerless to defend themselves." He promised himself that if he lived, he would take his family to the Jewish homeland and help them build a future for the Jewish people. "I stand here today as an Israeli prime minister because my grandfather kept that promise."
Wow.
Powerful.
And he's never again. Never again. Dear God, we pray for the peace of Israel, the protection of Israel. Put your angels around them, God. We just pray for the salvation of the Jews, Lord God. Lord, we pray just wisdom. Uncover these strategies, these evil strategies. Uncover and cancel every attack plan against Israel, we pray. Father God, rise up, raise up men and women of God who will stand boldly for Israel and make a differentiation between France and other nations who said, "I will stand with Israel." Let people see that you do bless those who bless Israel. Amen. Amen. Well, these things are taking place, but God is going to move in the midst of all this. And we're looking at a major move. As a matter of fact, here is Jim Baker talking about how God showed him he's going to begin to move even in a powerful way. Listen up.
Great church leaders will emerge from minorities. Great church leaders will emerge from minorities, not religion. Some of these people that are going to be emerging are not going to be very religious. They're going to have a lot of zeal and a lot of anointing. And they're liable to offend some people because God's going to raise them up like Peters and fishermen and people that maybe aren't all polished. And you know, I've already seen this being fulfilled. The young man who's working with our ministry, who we met in Los Angeles, is a prophetic word here tonight. Armando, would you stand up? Just let him see you. Don't be embarrassed. This is Armando. Come up and stand with me just a minute. Come here. Armando is from Los Angeles, California, part of the gang world. He's still a member of the gang world because they won't let him out. They'll kill him out, but he can't get out. His gang killed 20 people. But Jesus Christ has come into his heart. And he loves Jesus. And he's on fire for God. And he just got back from Denmark. I don't know if I told you this story here, but he's been to Denmark twice now, hasn't he? The first time you went to Denmark, he went into the inner city looking like this. He's got some tattoos. And the gang leader came up to him. And what did he say to you?
He started making fun of Jesus. And I was doing an interview, a live interview with the radio station and with the television network, 6 in the morning. And he challenged me to a fight. And where I come from, we don't back down for anything. And even though I knew Jesus, I was still not going to let nobody hit me. But the interesting thing was that...
Well, to turn the other cheek. We haven't got to that lesson yet. We'll get there.
Interesting thing was that the cameras and the radio station, I told them, you guys better leave because it's going to get ugly here. And I was by myself, and somehow I always end up by myself. But they told me, we want to see what would Jesus do. I said, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed, Jesus. But in the middle of that, the guy started making fun of Jesus. All of a sudden, I just got tired and I said, look, man, just shut up. I said, you don't even know Jesus. I'm not making fun of your Allah. I'm not making fun of the Muslims. I'm not making fun of nobody. I want the same respect I'm giving you. I want the same respect back. But if you want to fight me, I'll fight you. I took off my shirt and the media was there and I was ready to fight. It didn't matter to me. All of a sudden, this guy didn't want to fight me no more. I told him, give me the best guy you have. And if he beats me, I'll leave to America and will never come back to Denmark again. I promise you. I give you my gangster word. I'll stand on it. I said, but if I beat the best guy you have, I said, you got to give me a chance to preach Jesus. They didn't want to fight me. Thank God. It's not because I was scared, but I just didn't want to fight no more. All of a sudden, he started making fun of Jesus, Jim. And I stopped. I said, look, man, I'm not going to have this no more. You talking too much. And where I come from, you don't talk at all. You show your action. I said, have you ever felt God? He says, what are you talking about, man? I said, yeah, you're making fun of Jesus. Have you ever felt God? He says, no, man, I never felt God. I said, you want to feel God? All of a sudden, he got put in the spot, and he says, well, yeah, I want to see what he got. Less than 5 minutes, I think it was 1 minute. It felt for a long time, but I think it was less than 1 minute. I didn't even touch him. I was standing back away from him this way, and I said, look, man, just relax. Don't be nervous. If you get nervous, I'll get nervous. But I just said a simple prayer. I said, look, I said, Jesus, just touch him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And when I said that, the guy just collapsed in the middle of everywhere. The thing about it was, I stepped away. And all of these guys came forward and says, man, you killed my friend. And at that time, I was mad because of the guys were making fun of Jesus. But I said, I didn't kill nobody, man. Just pick your homeboy up and tell him what's up, man. Ask him. All of a sudden, he got up and you know how the falling of the spirit is. And I asked him, man, what did you feel? He says, man, I felt like a lightning coming through my head, running up and down like fire. I says, well, does that give me the green light to preach Jesus? He says, man, you can pray for all these guys, and I want to take you to the clubhouse where the rest of the guys meet. And believe me, when I went in there, Jim, I'm talking about the only one that gets to seat in the best chair is the teacher of their Muslim belief. And they says, man, we want you to sit here. and we want you to teach us about Jesus. For 2 hours straight, I teached about Jesus, and it was awesome.
Stay there, man. I want to show you what a ghetto boy, what Denmark is happening. You help me hold. I know you want to hold. Just hold that up for me. Look at here. This is the front page. Look at these paper clipping. This is Denmark, one of the wickedest places supposedly in the world. Look at these pictures. Look at these papers. Paper. The press wouldn't leave them alone. What'd they call you, a gangster from America?
A gangster that loves God.
He's winning him to Christ. The prophetic word is God is raising up from minorities, from the ghettos, from places, from Indians, from Hispanics, from black, from the people who have been oppressed. He's going to take and confound the wise. I believe a visual is worth words. Great church leaders will emerge from minorities. God spoke to me in the middle of the night.
This is so awesome. And this is what the Lord's been laying on our heart.
Yeah.
And this is what we're seeing. We're just seeing everybody who walks with Jesus, these signs follow them that believe. No more big shots, no more kingdom building of men.
That's right.
But it's just a kingdom advancing and expanding of God. And I just love that. That rawness is just
awesome.
Beautiful. It was like, oh, we haven't taught him yet about turn the other cheek.
He's bringing it real.
Yeah, he's bringing it real. Right. And he got a chance to sit down at with a group of Muslims where they get taught Islam, and he taught them Christianity.
That's right. Mm.
Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
Powerful.
No, I'd love to heard the message since you hadn't got turned the other cheek yet.
Yeah, right.
Yo, homies, this is what's happening.
Wrong,
probably
man.
They got it, too.
Yeah,
they probably got it, exactly.
Sure. Spoke their language.
Yeah, and so I'm telling you right now, this is what we're sensing. So, yeah, this is going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but realize if you're with God, you're on the winning side. Imagine you have this dry ground. It's dry, and it's nothing there. It's hard and everything like this. And then as they're preaching, you're watching visually what's happening to this ground. And somebody says, the Lord God's breaking up the hard soil. And then all of a sudden you see this visual of this pickaxe going into that hard soil. And so many people give up at that point and say, there'll never be a harvest here. But the first word always begins on a hard heart, on hard ground. And so as the sowing, and that's why we have VFN Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why we're on Christian television, because we want to soften up your hearts. And then he said, then you just imagine, goes again, he goes, and he's tilling the soil and breaking it up. And then you see this tiller coming, and it's just tossing up the ground and breaking it up, and the weeds are going under. And it's like, how could this be productive? What's going to come out of this? And this is what's happening. The whole earth is being tilled. Everything's being broken up. The hard soil's being broken. And understand this. All of a sudden, the seed of God's word is going to be planted in your heart when he begins to preach the truth of the God. And like we're talking to you now. And that seed lands on the soil of your heart. And you'll think, whoa, what is it now? Understand, water that word, protect that word, abide with God, and watch over, and hold on. Understand, these are the processes. We're seeing the hard soil of humanity's heart being broken up with all this tragedy taking place and going to take place. But understand, a harvest is coming, a harvest of soul, and suddenly a blade is going to break forth from the ground. And there's going to be a harvest that the church has never seen, the world has never seen before, of the body of Christ exploding in growth and power across the face of the earth.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Well, I was thinking about you guys, Thinking about our VFN radio listeners, you guys have been just connecting with us. We are so appreciative of just the great conversation that we're all joining together as we continue to encourage God's people. But I was thinking about McDonald's. I know that it's one of Chris's favorite places. And as I was thinking...
Which one?
Mickey D's.
Oh, Mickey. He does tend to venture out a little bit.
We know that he likes to visit for lunch, you know, quite a bit. And it's interesting how he just kind of slips out the studio and slips back in. Just disappears. And where is Chris? And then there's a quick beeline, you know, to where he has to go. But I hear the rumbling, the crisp bag, you know, just mm-hmm. bumping up against his leg as he's racing by. And I smell an aroma coming from over there, and I see that pretty large bag of Mickey D's. Did you bring some for the rest of us? No, he's very quiet right now.
Yeah.
He's very quiet. Well, Chris, I want you to know. I want you to feel good about this because maybe it's coming to America, right? But right now in Japan, you can order French fries, but not a regular, you know. They went from the large to the supersize. Now they have the mega.
Oh, come on.
Mega potato. It is double the large size.
Oh, my goodness.
It is double. You know how many calories are in a regular? I mean, I don't know.
There's not. You can't even count them. Yeah. There's so many.
I stopped doing fries just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Just to put that out there.
Thank you for your confession. You let go of the fries, huh?
I let go.
Thank you, Jesus. He repented.
But somebody did ask me for some fries yesterday. I won't name any names.
Okay, don't name any names. It's not necessary. Just confess your own sin, okay? But listen, I mean, fries. I don't know what they put in these fries, but let me tell you, they're addictive. Those fries are good. Their fries are good. But I don't know if you knew this. This is the Daily News is reporting that it weighs, this mega potato weighs about 3/4 of a pound, and it clocks in at 1,142 calories.
Oh, my
gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
57 grams of fat and 800 milligrams of sodium.
That's the whole potato?
No, I don't know if it's a whole potato, but they call it the mega potato. It's a double. You should see the picture. We might have a picture of this.
Is it order of fries?
It's an order of fries, but it's a double order of large fries.
Right.
It's you need two hands to hold the container. You need two hands to hold the container.
Grief.
And apparently this is one of those like limited promotion things that they're running. In Japan. Well, it's in Japan. Hopefully it won't come over here. And normally you can get, I think, a whole meal for $5. These potatoes alone cost $5. So, you know, Clue, stay away from the potatoes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. You miss the gangster. If you miss the gangster ministering in Denmark, you've got to catch it. You get on the VFN Torch or go to your app or whatever and listen to it. But he was ready to let them have it in a radio station at 6 a.m. in the morning when they were talking about his Jesus. But he took a stand. Mm-hmm. He took a stand. And next thing you know, the one who was opposing him took a fall because the power of God hit him.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And they thought, like, you killed our homie. You got to see this. He said, no, he stepped back. He said, pick up your homie. He ain't dead.
Yeah.
And he got a chance to minister to these Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And it was just so cool watching how God's using what's about to happen, the harvest about to happen on the earth. But to make this statement, I want you to really think about this. Hard times soften hard hearts. Mm. Hard times soften hard hearts. So many people have been protecting their children, their friends, their family, and everybody from going through hard times. Mm. As you're hearing some say, we've been holding back the winter with QE1 and QE2 and trying to prevent America from... And the thing about it is, therefore, our hearts remain hard because hard times make hearts soft. But yet we complain about hard times and we complain about hard hearts. We like, they're just not listening. They're just not listening. At the same time, you're going, but I don't want a hard time. But at the same time, you're saying you don't want a hard heart. But hard times make hard hearts soft. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at the ground. I mean, you can grow something in that ground if you're willing to break up the hard soil.
That's right.
That's how it works. It's just, it. You know, I know that we think we've grown past that because 2% of the population of America is growing food for 98%, but it's not true. They're just working hard. And understand that what's happening and what we've been talking about in today's programs, this prophecy and the things being fulfilled, is you're looking at hearts are probably being filled with, are going to be filled with some fear and different things, but understand this, but they're going to be softened. The things that people were leaning on and relying on and all this stuff about, you know, Wall Street this and Wall Street that, and we have a related article about explaining the stock market, and hopefully it'll be connected to this. But you have to understand, Wall Street is nothing. Wall Street is an organization that takes a company and breaks it up into portions and then offers it to people to sell parts of that company. They call it stock. So truly, Wall Street is your neighbor. Wall Street is the person riding around in the Winnebago. For some reason, they haven't worked in 20 years, but they're making money because they own a part of that company. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to make money. It's capitalism. But it's not somebody in New York. It's your neighbor. Mm. It's the person who's talking about their 401k. That's actually stocks bought into companies. It's your retirement plan. It's you, possibly. And it's so crazy. You got folks who actually own the stock that they trade on the New York Stock Exchange blaming Fast Street, Wall Street for all the problems. Like, you are Wall Street.
Yeah.
You are Wall Street. Because if you quit buying that stock, they'll quit trading that stock because there's nobody to buy it. They make money when it's sold and they make money when it's bought. And by the way, God knows this. And that's why he's not going to just deal with America because of an address in New York City called Wall Street. He's going to deal with America because the Americans, us, you know, we have bought those stocks. We're the ones that said, well, when it comes to money, I don't think like God. I know one particular man, I'm telling this particular man, he's just professing to be, you know, Christian, all this kind of stuff, and I'm not saying he's or isn't. But he was talking about where his stocks are. I'm like, do you know what that company's doing? And he just kind of went there like, oh, that's just business. So this man who professes to be doing what's right before God, he's actually fueling what's wrong happening to God in this whole nation. And he doesn't see it because it's just business.
Wow.
It's just business. And it's like, God sees it. He sees things that are done wrong. He sees that you built this company and you had bought into a company that you raped that company to be able to make another one to make it your profit bottom line higher. But he sees all the people who just got unemployed. He sees all the people who don't have food now in that situation. He sees the ones that lost their houses. And you're thinking this is a great deal because we did a couple of mergers here. We laid off all these human beings, which you call, you know, unneeded overhead. And now they're actually unemployed. And so understand this, that when we're talking about God dealing with us, we have to understand it's not all Wall Street. We can talk about QE1, quantitative easing when they're printing money, and which one of the former, thank you, Woodrow Wilson, for the Federal Reserve, is apologizing, saying he's sorry for what they've done to us, and there's no turning back now in the context of this, that Wall Street is there because we buy stocks. We get into retirement plans and other people buy the stocks. You may say, well, I don't know. I just have a broker. Well, your broker buys stocks. He or she's buying a portfolio of stocks. Your police retirement, your school retirement, your company 401k, that's all stocks. That's all stocks, maybe some bonds, but believe me, there's a wide portfolio in there of stocks. Well, let me tell you something. This is what was prophesied by Jim Baker, you heard today on today's programs. This is what we have said, and hopefully it's a related article, that in within six minutes, that the stock market is going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
And the life as we know it, is not going to be the same again. Understand this. When electricity stops flowing through your electrical lines, your lights go out. When blood stops flowing through your veins, your life goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And when money, the economy, stops flowing through America, everything shuts down. This is what was said in one particular movie. I forget the name of the movie. It's in Goshen, the Goshen blog.
Armageddon.
He said, wealthy people are nice as long as they're wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Rich people are nice as long as they're rich. But once they're not rich anymore, they're not nice anymore. And so you say, well, we're not rich. Yes. The poorest person in America is richer than 80% of the 7 billion people on the face of the globe. We just don't realize how rich we are. But by the way, when the blood stops flowing through the veins of America, when there's a suddenly and your check don't show up, gas don't go in your tank, food don't show up in your pantry, all of a sudden the hard hearts that we didn't deal with begin to do things that we're going to regret if we as the church don't begin to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and ourselves get right with God and begin to say, you know what? Our hope is God. It always was God. We just left him, but we can turn back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Also, if you're on the Gulf Coast, contact AB Mobile Mechanics. They're fast, friendly, and fair. They do everything from ACs to water pumps. Give them a call today. Also on the Gulf Coast, ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. All of your security and monitoring needs. Give them a call today. Secure that home and that business. And if you're in Mobile, Alabama, contact Stephen Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop. Listen, no job is too big, no job is too small. Contact them today and visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.